You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Spring training is finally upon us, and pitchers and catchers, as we speak, are reporting to spring training. I am Allison Footer, and I'm here with Todd Zalecki, who is joining the Philadelphia Phillies for a very long and probably very interesting spring training. And Todd, we have talked about pitching, so I'm not going to bother you with that at this point, but let's go over the projected batting order. So you have a story on the Phillies website just loosely projecting how this might shake out. And why don't we, is there anything position battle wise, is there anything that stands out to you as something that could change or has the best chance to maybe change during spring training?
I think there's a couple things worth watching a little bit. And, you know, the lineup I put down there was basically projected playing time over the course of the season. But for instance, I have Cameron Rupp as a starting catcher. It's possible that Carlos Ruiz could start opening day. You know, it's going to be his last season with the Phillies. Maybe they give the nod to the veteran as kind of a thank you for a lot of years of really good service, I guess, to the organization. So, and honestly, maybe playing time at catcher changes as the season goes on. If Carlos Ruiz can somehow bounce back from the worst season of his career last year, maybe he can get into a more of a 50-50 playing time type of situation with Cameron Rupp. That's worth watching this spring. A big thing worth watching this spring is Ryan Howard. Is he going to be able to hit left-handed pitching? Pete McCannon has basically said that Howard, it's kind of hard to play Ryan Howard against left-handed pitching. He had a 480 OPS against lefties last year, whereas Darren Ruff's OPS against lefties was over 1,000. In fact, it was tied with Nelson Cruz for the best in baseball if Darren had a little bit more plate appearances to qualify. But so first base, catching, kind of worth watching. And then outfield, going into camp, you have Odubel Herrera, Peter Borges, and Aaron Altair kind of as the favorites for those top three spots. What's going to be interesting to watch there is who's going to play center field. Like everybody says, Peter Borges is one of the best defensive center fielders in the game. But Odubel Herrera last year played really good defensive outfield in center field. You know, so will they move Borges there and move Odubel Herrera out of his comfort zone? Or will they say, you know what, let's just keep Odubel comfortable, happy, we know he can produce offensively, and maybe move Borges to one of the corner spots? So those are a couple things when you look at some of those battles and spring training projections that could change, I guess, is when opening day comes around.
Yeah, what's it going to be like for Ryan Howard? I mean, he's kind of somebody who we don't talk about much anymore just because he's sort of fallen off the landscape a little bit. And, of course,
right,
we know that he's had his injury issues. This is the last year of his contract, correct?
Yeah, he's got a club option for next year, but, I mean, it would be one of the biggest upsets in sports history if that option got picked up. He's got a $10 million buyout, and it's almost like fait accompli that that's going to happen. That if he finishes the season with a different team, that team is going to take that buyout, or the Phillies will end up paying another team to take that buyout. But yeah, and this spring is going to be really interesting. Howard did not, for years and years, he was one of the most stand-up guys in that clubhouse. He was one of the most gregarious guys in that clubhouse. And last year, you could just tell he was not a happy guy. He wasn't around as much. So you wonder what his attitude is going to be like coming into camp this year, where basically he knows, no doubt about it, this is my last year in Philadelphia. They're going younger. The manager's already come out and said, I'm probably going to platoon because I can't hit left-handed pitching. You know, so there's a lot of these things that he's got to think about. There was the story that came out in the offseason, Al Jazeera
network
that had him coming out and being linked to possible PED use. You know, the previous offseason, he was in a lawsuit with his family. So he's had a lot of stuff going on. And if he can come into camp with an open mind and a good attitude, maybe he can make it work in his final year in Philadelphia. But you wonder, again, I'll be really curious to see kind of what kind of mental state he comes into. Will he talk to me? Last year, he basically just didn't want anything to do with us. I guess I don't blame him necessarily, but will he kind of carry that attitude into this spring? And if he does, it could be really, really tough because his role is probably going to be diminished quite a bit.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of a rough time for him in that, or an interesting time for him in that, I mean, I'm assuming that he'd probably want to continue playing after this year. I don't know that for sure. I've not ever spoken to the man, but he has something to actually play for, or he would have a reason to have a pretty good attitude. I mean, he's almost like maybe showcasing himself for a midseason trade, or, you know, to show teams that maybe he's got something left in the tank if they want to sign him next year, take a chance on him. So it's not like a total lost cause where they're just waiting to kick him into retirement. I mean, there's probably is there a desire on his part, do you think, to keep playing?
Yeah, I wonder if there is, but in assuming that there is, you're right. He does have a lot of incentive to kind of get back on track. I mean, you look at his splits last year, and I mentioned earlier, he was really, really bad against left-handed pitching. He had an OPS over 800 against right-handed pitching.
Wow.
So it's just kind of surprises me a little bit that the Phillies have actually been talking to AL teams over the past couple of years saying, listen, we'll eat almost all of his contract. It's just kind of funny that there's not an American League team out there that wouldn't want him to maybe platoon at first base and DH. But obviously there hasn't been a team interested. So if I'm Ryan Howard, I'm coming into this camp going, okay, I'm going to try to get better as good as I can against left-handed pitching. And if I just can't get it figured out against left-handed pitching, I am going to try to do as well as I can against right-handed pitching. You know, because if he does want out of Philly, if he would like to finish his season on a contender, you know, he's got to do it. He's got to prove teams that he's actually worth taking a chance on. So there is a lot of, you know, he can kind of control his fate to a lot of, you know, in a big sense of how the season can turn out.
It's really amazing. When I'm looking at this lineup, I just think back to 2008. I covered that World Series. You obviously were there. It seemed like the Phillies were unstoppable, that the good times were never going to end. I remember just being in the clubhouse when they won it and seeing him, and he sat in his seat at his locker, kind of away from it just for a minute and sort of took it all in. And it's just like looking around that clubhouse with all the talent in there, and it's got to be weird for you to look at this projected lineup and just see him stuck in there with a bunch of other players that, you know, they're obviously rebuilding. But is that kind of strange for you just to see what's happened over time?
It is very, very weird, not to have Chase Utley in here this year.
Right.
This is Jimmy Rollins' second spring without being in Philly, but not having Chase, not having Jimmy, not having Cole Hamels. We looked it up today. There's going to be 66 players in camp, more than I've ever had I've ever covered in spring training, and only 18 of those players were at the beginning of camp last year. So it's almost entirely new faces. I mean, there were guys in the clubhouse this morning taking physicals, and I had no clue who they were. You know, I kind of had to follow them to their locker and go, oh, okay, that's this guy. Oh, okay, that's that guy. Like Andrew Knapp, who's one of their top catching prospects, he shaved his mustache off. And I was like, oh, okay, this, you know, I had no idea who he was because he shaved his mustache off. I'm like, this is one of the best prospects in the Phillies' system. So, yeah, it's a totally, totally new experience, tons of new faces. I think even, you know, the coaching staff, the front office, they're looking at these guys out there throwing, going like, all right, who's this lefty? They don't know, you know, exactly who everybody is because they've turned over the roster like I've never seen before.
Yeah, so we want to sort of end this podcast just talking about, and you did get into it a little bit, just about what it's like to cover spring training. I mean, you've covered, how long have you covered the Phillies?
I've covered them since 2003, and my first spring training, though, was in 2004.
Okay, so you've seen just about everything. I mean, going into the spring or compared to other springs, I mean, is this going to be more interesting for you, how is it knowing that the team is not going to have a chance to be a contender yet? There's a million different storylines yet, like you said. You don't even know who these guys are. What's it like?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because, you know, on Twitter and stuff, you get a lot of snarky comments and things about the Phillies' future. But, and you know, the spring training, for me as a reporter, I think this is going to be one of the more interesting spring trainings in years. Certainly since the 2011 spring training, they had that big press conference with Halliday, Lee, Oswalt, Hamels, you know, the four aces.
Right.
And that was exciting. So there's been a lot of those spring trainings and Roy Halladay's first spring in 2010. But in terms of just newness, you know, which of these prospects in camp are going to sink, which ones are going to swim, you know, who's going to be the out, you know, are any of these big league players from last season going to continue to develop and take steps forward? Are guys going to take steps back? you know, how about these guys in the Ken Giles trade? Are any of these guys going to be any good? You know, so there's going to be more storylines and things to follow this year than in any other spring training. I mean, Allison, you know, like spring training games late in the spring, it's the sixth inning, you know, you kind of lose interest in the game. This spring, or even early in the spring, you know, because they're shuttling in like these 6-year free agents that, you know, they're never going to see the big league club. Now this year, late in these spring training games, they're going to be shuttling in like Nick Williams, who's one of the top prospects in baseball, J.P. Crawford, you know, Andrew Knapp, Jorge Alfaro behind the plate, two of the top catching prospects in baseball. You know, so like these late in the games, these spring training games actually have the chance to be very, very interesting and very, very competitive because, again, it's not some guy that's been with 8 organizations in 8 years and, you know, he's got 35 plate appearances in 8 years. These could be guys that could be perennial all-stars for the Phillies down the road. So that, to me, is what's going to make this camp really interesting and a lot of fun.
Yeah, we've always said that the outcome of spring training games rests largely on how strong your farm system is. And there's a lot of truth to that because it really doesn't – I mean, the starters go like 2 innings. I mean, the starting pitchers, they'll maybe work up to 4 innings after their fourth start or third start. But with some of these young players, I mean, it really is like – largely dependent on just how many prospects you have.
Yeah, and just the intrigue of all of these guys, you know, like seeing, you know, for Phillies fans, seeing Mark Appel pitch, seeing Jake Thompson pitch, seeing Nick Williams play in the outfield, you know, just there's just a lot of intrigue with all these guys. They have 2 Rule 5 picks in camp this year, and Tyler Goodell has a really good chance at making the outfield. Daniel Stumpf has a decent shot of making the bullpen. So, yeah, everywhere you look – you know, I hate to disparage these kind of 6-year free agents and guys that come in, but, you know, you don't have the kind of like, oh, well, you know, that guy's not going to be in the big leagues ever. Or if he is, he's basically there as a short-term replacement. Again, it's kind of these are guys that could help the Phillies get to the playoffs in a couple of years. You know, these are guys that could be pitching in the NLCS in a few years or the World Series in a few years. I mean, that's the type of team that they're going to be putting out here in spring training.
In 2013, the Astros had, like, pretty much cleaned out their entire roster, and there were only maybe 6 or 7 recognizable guys, and I'm not exaggerating. And Bo Porter was a first-year manager, and I don't know why he came up with this idea, and I'm not going to dump on the guy, but he decided that they were not going to have names on the backs of their jerseys. They were going to have to earn the names on the backs of their jerseys. And nobody knew who anyone was. Not just the reporters. The teammates didn't know who the other guys were unless they looked at a roster with the numerical roster, which was embarrassing. So if the Phillies have names on the backs of their jerseys, then I'm assuming that you will have a leg up on everything.
Yeah, I think they do. But I was even talking to some of the players and some of the front office people, and they're like, I got to get to know some of these people. I don't know who any of these guys are. So thankfully, it's not just me coming in going like, I really feel unprepared for some reason. No, it's front office people, it's teammates, it's coaches. They're all saying the same thing that I'm saying. So I feel like we're all on the same learning curve here in terms of, all right, who are you? And you know, exactly, oh, you're Nick Williams? You're one of the top outfield prospects in all of baseball. Okay, you know, now I know what your face looks like, that type of thing.
That's awesome. Well, good luck. Enjoy. Obviously, we'll be talking to you a lot through the spring. So thanks a lot, Todd. We'll talk to you soon.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.